This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. Yes.
Why?
It warms me up. I'm able to, you know, get my words out. It's supposed to help out.
But why was he denied the bank loan?
Because he was hot. All right, here we go. Good evening. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 107 of Within the Trenches. This episode is sponsored by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So this is going to be an interesting episode. It is about, let's see, it's about 11:13 p.m. on Saturday. What is this, May 7th, something like that? And
don't ask me.
And I am sitting here. We're recording live within the Ferchando compound. I got my brother here with me. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
And this is going to be
a little out of my element. Go ahead.
This is going to be an interesting episode because I was looking through. Okay, so I get these Google alerts, okay? And with the Google alerts, what happens is I have a keyword in there for 911. So any of the 911 stories that comes in through Google, I end up getting it. So one of these stories from a couple days ago had to do with all of these phone calls that were coming into Ottawa County 911. Now, my brother and I grew up in Finville, which is within Allegan County. And just north of Allegan County is Ottawa. And in 94... they received several phone calls about a possible UFO sighting. And this article, I was reading through it, and they actually have some tapes of Ottawa talking to these callers. And then they were talking to the National Weather Service out of Muskegon. So I'm going to play that, but there's a more to this story that just kind of builds up to it. There was stuff that happened in our own lives that it just, I don't know, it's crazy how it all ends up coming together. But before that, what I want to say is that last week was the Indiana NENA conference, and it went great. It was excellent. I only got three episodes out of the conference. However, it was amazing. I got to do episode 105, which was the episode that was one of the sessions during the conference and had a live audience. If you've not heard that episode, make sure to check out episode 105. It was badass. And because I've already done it once with a live audience, I'm going to try to do it at more conferences, get more dispatchers to go on there and tell their stories. It was funny as hell. We had a great time. And yeah, I want to keep doing that. Also, episode 106 with Rob Big Mac McMullen and his dispatchers, what I call the ladies of Vigo County. We had a good time as well. There was a lot of shit talking that that we did. So that was a good time. So make sure to check out both of those, episode 105 and 106, and you won't regret it. It's going to be good. Also, a quick announcement. The Sons and Daughters of Dispatch, the decals, are going to be now, they're available. As of right now, they're available. And I've posted this up on Twitter and on Facebook, and you're able to purchase those. They're going to be printed in-house, and this will cut down on the delivery time. So there's no longer going to be a pre-order time. That we're going to be doing these weekly. So we're going to take orders every day. We're going to do them daily. However, the orders will be shipped out every Friday. I also want to give a big shout out to Heather, who ended up doing the first few orders. She does excellent work. Make sure to check her out. I have links on the Facebook page as well, but I'm going to put her links on the post after posting this episode up so that you can check out what she does. She works for photography, company in Holland, Michigan, and she does vinyl on the side. So she does great work for all the big orders that I end up getting. I'm going to go to her because she does awesome shit. So make sure to check her out. Like I said, those links are going to be on there. And now we will we'll get to this interesting, crazy UFO story. And I have to say, if this was on video, you'd be able to see what we're doing right now. My brother's sitting on this tiny ass bar stool, and I was as well, except my microphone doesn't stretch as far down as his, so he's able to bend his. I have to stand up, so it's kind of weird. We're standing at this little bar area that he has in his apartment.
And in my empty apartment.
And his empty apartment. And we're doing this. So it's kind of funny how we're doing this. My feet are probably going to hurt by the time
we're done. Speaking of feet, if you sit on your foot on the stool, it's not so bad.
No? Like, it feels okay. You can actually reach.
Just use your foot as a cushion.
I don't know, man. I think that's going to... you know what? Your foot is going to fall asleep.
I'm doing it.
I know, but it's gonna fall asleep by the time we finish this.
That's okay.
You know, okay, I have to say this really quick. A couple days ago, I woke up early in the morning.
It's falling asleep.
And you see, I told you. And I went to stretch, and I got this crazy-ass Charlie horse on my right freaking calf. Dude, I was probably loud as hell because I passed out on the couch. I was watching something, and I fell asleep on the couch. And I woke up and I went to stretch and I felt it in my right calf, and I tried to like kick it out like a freaking horse.
Yeah.
And
it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. It made it worse.
And I was like, I know. It's because you're old. Me too.
You're a dick, dude.
We're old, man.
Well, I guess.
I mean, we're not old, but you know, that crap happens now.
Our bodies are dying.
I've accepted it. The other day, my toe got so cramped, I was jerking it front and back and every side that I could freaking do it. And it was just making it worse and worse. And I was just let it ride, man.
Let it ride.
Just let it ride. Just
we'll
accept
what,
it.
We'll this see what happens
on occasion. And
I did not want to. I did not want to accept my fate. I was trying to fight it, and I just made it worse. So I'm laying there. My leg is bent, and I'm sitting up. I look like I was possessed. The way I was sitting up, and then I couldn't walk, man. I couldn't put any weight on it, and then finally it got a little better. But Logan comes downstairs and he said, "Buddy, you won't believe what happened to me." And he goes, "I could hear you downstairs." He goes, "Are you okay?"
God,
I was like, "Holy crap!"
You should have punched it.
My calf.
Stop it!
All right, wake up, stupid. Yeah, it still right now kind of hurts a little bit, but
I don't know.
See, and
it's probably because we're not active enough or something. Or you got to stretch.
Maybe
stretch in the mornings, yeah, and stuff like that.
I guess. Well, that's what I tried to do, was stretch, and it jacked up my calf.
Windmills, all that.
Damn, that sucks. You're talking about getting old next week. I turn 35.
I thought you were rated 35, but you're getting there.
What an ass. No, I'm 34.
I always forget, man.
On the 14th, I'll be 35. You're stupid. Yeah, thanks. So this whole... Okay, so back in 92, and this is the weird thing, because this whole UFO thing happened in 94. So 92, our grandmother, my dad's mom, our grandma Cello, she got really sick, and they weren't sure if they were or she was going to make it. So my dad and my aunt and uncle, they ended up going to Texas. Now, my grandmother at the time lived in Donna, Texas, down in the valley. And a couple of our uncles were there as well, our Theo Fernando and our Theo Max. Theo meaning uncle, for those who don't know. So they all ended up going over there, and my dad was there for a while. I mean, he was there for about 2 or 3 months. And, you know, during that time, some interesting stuff happened to us. So The first,
I don't know if it was interesting. Scary.
Kind of, yeah, scary, I guess. But the first part of this, and this is actually on a Betamax video that our sister, Devon, ended up posting up on YouTube. So, 92, this is Christmas Eve. What we would do on Christmas Eve, which probably a lot of people do, I don't know, maybe not, but what we would do is we would open all of our presents that were from our parents. And then on Christmas, we would open our presents from Santa Claus. And then in the evening, we would all go to my uncle's house and we would open up the presents that our grandmother gave to all of the grandkids. So this video, it's about a minute long, but it is December 24th and it's 1992.
On a Betamax.
On a Betamax tape. If you could, I'm going to make sure to put the link on there so that you guys can see it. But
precursor to VHS for you people who don't know.
Yeah, it's yeah, exactly. So the video is called Santa Came Early. Now, my younger siblings were oblivious. They were unaware, but at that time, I already knew, and in the video, you can see on my face. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and you're going to hear it, and we're going to kind of talk through this. So this is the beginning. So right now, my brother Fernando just, he's got a present, and my mom is our mom is taking video.
With my windswept mushroom hair and giant glasses.
Whoops.
My face, like, what?
Okay, so Fernando is, he's holding up what he just unwrapped, and it's a Sega Genesis controller, and he's got the biggest smile on his face, like, hell yeah, check it out. And of course, as you just heard, my mom's kind of freaking out because he was not supposed to get that present.
I'm holding it like I just found the Holy Grail.
Yeah, exactly.
You weren't supposed to get that yet until tomorrow. Well, you better let Rishi hold on to that.
You just pull it from my hand. Here, give it to me. Let me hold on to it. So, your cheesy face. And I'm like, I don't know why you're so happy. I'm happy too.
So I give him another present to kind of try to help a little bit here, but
he tried to keep my paws off that controller.
He doesn't want to give up the box with the controller in it, the extra, the two player, the second player controller on it. And I've pulled it away, and yeah, I've got a big old cheese and smile on my face. You bought it for me, he says.
You looking in the camera.
That's a secret thing. See, and mom doesn't know what to say.
Yeah. No, I can imagine her face, man. Smiling and, like, laughing at the same time.
Right, like, damn it.
So, Happy Mother's Day tomorrow, Mom.
Yeah, we love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. So, okay, so that happened during that Christmas. Also, what happened during that Christmas was that our freaking house got broken into. So,
High five.
What was that?
I said high five.
I know, right? So this, I believe this happened right before Christmas. And what we did that year was, it was the first year that we all got together as a family to do our nativity play. And, you know, of course, everybody had a part and stuff. And we were going to my aunt's house a lot to practice, for one. We also were going to be singing like Christmas carols and stuff for the family. Cause we were doing,
the funny thing is we were practicing for ourselves.
I know.
What?
We were doing a thing, man, know, for the whole family.
I know, but still.
So anyway, we're going over there every day and stuff to do this. Cause you know, our mom and our Aunt Mary, they were sewing all of the costumes. Like, they were going all out, man. So they're doing this. And one night, we go back home, excuse me, and I remember I'm carrying my mom's her sewing machine, her Singer big ass sewing machine, and we go into the house. So when we go into the house, there's, you get off the car in the driveway, and we've got like this cement walkway, and there's like three steps, and then you get to the porch area, and then there's the door that goes into the actual house. Now, during that time, we had this long Christmas ornament that was on the other side of the door, not the outside, but on the inside of the door, and it hung right on the doorknob. And it had, I don't know, what, like six or seven bells, something like that on there. I think it said Merry Christmas or maybe Jingle Bells. I don't know. But it was on the inside of the door. And whenever somebody would open that door, you could hear the bells ringing, which now thinking about is kind of creepy. But I remember I was the first one and I went into the porch and then it was my mother, my grandmother, and then my siblings. And we go up there and I go to open the door just out of, I don't know, just impulse. I went to open the door and the door was open. And I remember I turned back to look at my mom and I asked her, did you leave the door unlocked? And she said, no. But when I had opened the door, you could hear the jingling of the bells. And then I asked her that. She said, no. And you could see that there was a piece missing from the side of the door where somebody had kicked it in. And we ran like hell. I don't know if you remember running
out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We ran with a quickness. We took off and we ended up going. I don't remember. Did we go back to the Mary's house?
I don't know what happened after that.
I think we did.
I remember going back to the house eventually.
Yeah, I think what happened was we either went back to our Aunt Mary's house or we went to the nearest payphone.
They existed back then.
They existed.
There's no such thing as cell phone. Well, I mean, there were, but you had to be like super rich.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't have a cell phone. On your back. I know, right? So we went to a payphone or back to my aunt's house. I don't remember exactly now, but we called the cops. And we went back to the house, and where our house is, behind our house was another house. And this was a house that actually the bottom part, well, it used to be a barn, and then it was converted into an actual house. So the bottom piece was a house, and the top was like a barn. So my dad and our uncles, they ended up converting it to a house. So my Aunt Cruz lived there. And when we got back, we went to their house and we were all inside. And I actually remember we were playing Street Fighter there.
Two? And,
yeah, Street Fighter 2 on Super Nintendo.
Yes.
And I remember the cops came out and everything. Allegan County deputies went out there and they went through the entire house with our mom. And they did not find anything. There was nobody there. We had tons of electronics. I mean, we had a lot of stuff there and none of that was stolen. But what was stolen was clothes. So we're not sure who it was. The person was never caught, but we did not go back to the house. I mean, we locked up the place and the door was fixed. And our uncle ended up putting some deadbolts in the house and the front door and the back door. Now, the house, when you're looking at it straight on the west side of the house, there was a sliding door and a deck. And then on the back of the house, there was another deck. So we stayed out of that house for 2 weeks. And when we got back, and this was right before Christmas time, I remember we all slept in our grandmother's room because nobody wanted to sleep by themselves. Yeah, nobody wanted to sleep in the separate rooms because of what had happened. And we were kind of freaked out. So we all slept in our grandmother's room. And I remember we were, the room wasn't that big. Our grandmother had a queen size bed in that room, and there was only so much more space in there's
dressing area.
We were sleeping on the floor. Grandma was on the bed, and so was mom, and then we were all on the floor on the other side of the bed, I believe. And so that first night, I remember waking up in the middle of the night. I don't remember why. Maybe I heard something, but I woke up and I opened the door and I see our mom in the living room by the sliding door with an Allegan County deputy, and she's freaked out. And well, you were crashed out, but I woke up.
I don't remember that, but anyway, go ahead.
So I remember looking out and seeing her kind of, you know, just beside herself. She was kind of crying and trying to compose herself there with the deputy. And I remember when he walked out, he just kind of looked at me and just nodded his head and left. And that was that. We locked all the doors. And I asked Mom, I said, what happened? Why was the officer here? And she said that while we were all sleeping, she heard something at the sliding door. Now, this sliding door on the west side of the house was like 5 feet or so from our grandmother's room where we were all at. So it was my grandmother's room, the living room, and then the sliding door. So what she had said was she woke up because she heard some noise from the sliding door. And she walked out into the living room, and she could see a shadow of somebody standing there. And they were yanking. They started yanking on the sliding door. And she was yelling at them to just leave, that she was going to call the cops. And they were yanking and yanking on the door trying to get in. But she had a broomstick down like as a lock to make sure that, you know, it wouldn't get pulled open. And they finally left.
That's creepy.
Yeah, dude. You didn't know that?
No, I was asleep, you said, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I thought that you had heard this story.
But all these years, and I never knew.
Well, that happened that night.
Awesome.
Yeah, that first night, that happened.
Well, that is cool. Well, see, the thing is like, you're talking about us all, like, sleeping together and all that kind of stuff. So much crazy stuff happened in that house that it all blurs together, man. Like, there's been so many times where we've shared rooms because we don't want to sleep by ourselves or whatever. There's been so many crazy things that happen in the house. But that's outside of this entire thing. Yeah,
that's a completely different story. We'll have to say that, yeah, for another episode. But
like, and if comic books, when they link those together, they'd be like, oh, see this page in this episode and blah, blah, blah. You're going to have to do that for that.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, in the Audio Villains podcast, I've told that story a few different times about the house. So you might want to check that out. Otherwise, I'll save it for another episode on Within the Trenches.
There you go.
Okay, so that was 92. That was all this crazy stuff that was going on. Now, also during that time, when my dad was gone, something else happened. Something freaking crazy happened. We were watching a movie in the house and towards the back where the back deck was. So the room that was, you know, right before the deck going outside was, it was kind of a dining room / I don't know, like family room type thing. Cause we had a TV there and we watched movies there sometimes. So we're watching this movie and for whatever reason, I just happened to look outside and I looked outside and I saw like a string of lights and they were back in the property. It was behind our property. So where our house was, again, my aunt lived in the house behind us. And then there was this trail that went down, I don't know, it went down maybe a mile.
It was far.
Yeah, and there was like some dunes area right there that the Michigan fruit canners, which I don't know what they're called now. It might be like Bird's Eye Foods or some shit like that. But at the time, it was Michigan Fruit Canners. And they had a bunch of land out there. So it was a wooded area. And one section was like some dunes and stuff. And in that area was where we could see these lights. And they were red and green. And they were flashing. And I remember I told my mom and my brother saw them. And we stepped outside. And I remember my mom calling towards my aunt to look outside. And she came out on her deck and looked. And she kept telling us, that's just a house out there with Christmas lights on. And we were like, no, that can't be. Yeah. I was like, there's no houses back there. And our cousin Russ ended up coming out as well. And he said, no, there's nothing back there. I've been back there. There's no houses out there.
See, that's the thing is, like, they used to get mad at us so many times for going back there because we're not supposed to go back there ever.
Right, yeah.
And there is nothing out there.
No houses.
Might as well be a freaking desert. There's nothing out there. There's nothing but woods. There's dunes. There's dirt roads going back to the different facilities that they had, like, back there. I don't even know if you can call them facilities. Not really. No. There's nothing back there, actually. They just...
Nothing. They had like a sewage area back there or something
They had a sewage area back there, but it wasn't like a building or anything. There was no buildings whatsoever back there.
Yeah. So these lights were just above trails. The tree line. So there was no way that it could be a house, which of course we know there was no house. Yeah. There were no houses there.
We got lost in those woods. There's nothing there.
Right. And where those lights were coming from, that was an open area.
Yeah.
It's like you walk down that two track and then there's trees, but then there's an opening right after that. Well, it's completely open.
The thing is where the lights were, is from where I remember, is it would have had to have been right by the barn that was sitting there. And that barn was so old and dilapidated and destroyed. I mean, there was just nothing been there for who knows how many years. There's no right. electricity or anything.
The rest of it was cornfield.
And it's just cornfield and nothing. So
yeah.
Where those lights were positioned would have had to have been right where that was. And for miles and miles and miles and miles, there's absolutely nothing behind that barn.
Right.
Nothing.
And the lights were, like I said, in the tree line right up there. Above. And so we were freaked out because we were looking at this. We're like, we can't really be seeing this. This is crazy. And I mean, that happened and we were just like, okay, well, maybe it is a house. But we knew that it wasn't a house
because right, there are no houses.
But the adults were like, it's just a house. We're like, oh, okay, but we know that it's not. So,
and being in that small town too, I mean, you know, all of your neighbors, you know where everything is at.
Right. So we ended up just letting it go. It just let it go. Well, so then we come back to what I was talking about in the beginning. I get this Google alert and I'm looking at the news stuff because I had a bunch of freaking emails that because I've been out of town for a couple of weeks. So I didn't get to all of my emails. So I was trying to catch up on all of them. And well, yeah, we both have.
Anyway.
And so I'm looking through them and I have a bunch of 911 news alerts. And this one pops up and it talks about these phone calls for UFO sightings and a string of lights and all this other stuff. And I thought, is that the same thing? And then in looking at that, the video, you know, that was in 92, but these sightings were in 94. So I'm wondering if this was the same time or maybe dad went back to Texas another time and was gone. And we actually saw this in 94, not 92. I'm not for sure now, but it all ended up happening together. So this news article ended up having this tape. It's about 20 minutes long, except I have scrubbed forward to about 6.5 minutes. So the first part of it are calls from residents in Ottawa County and Allegan County, and they're talking about these lights that they're seeing. Some of it's a little scratchy, which is why I'm not going to play that part. But what I want you to hear is the part where the Ottawa County dispatcher ends up calling to the National Weather Service in Muskegon, and they start tracking this. And this is where it gets a little weird. So here we go. And also, if anybody who listens to this episode is out of Ottawa County, I've got a few friends there. But if anybody who's listening to this knows who this dispatcher is, I would love to get him on the show to talk about this because this would be freaking awesome to talk to him about.
Getting anything weird down in the southern Ottawa County area? Anything weird? Hold on for a second, okay? Yeah, 84th and Garfield. It's out of Chicago. That's a track radar.
Nothing more than the usual ground clutter we get right there. Okay. Let me get on closer range.
Okay, the reason I ask is we're getting a whole bunch of calls of some strange lights in the southern Ottawa, northern Allegan County, right near Holland City area.
Strange light?
Yeah. Such as we've had about 60 UFO calls.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I'm sitting here going, no, come on. There's got to be something more to this.
Yeah.
See, that's
crazy. I'll have to call a UFO reporting center then about this.
But this is just, you know, we've had a couple of them, and we got an officer out there right now, and he says the only thing he sees right now is a tower. What they had done is replaced their lights.
Uh-huh.
They were on steady before. Now they're on an alternating blinking pattern.
See, now at this point, when I was listening to it the other night, I thought, oh, okay, they're playing this. Because in the news article, it says Holland, Michigan UFO flap or something like that. So when I read flap, I thought, oh, it's going to turn out that it's going to be some bunk shit.
Yeah.
And when he's talking about the towers right there, I thought this is bunk, but it goes in deeper.
That's what he's writing it off to, but a couple of our people or the citizens are saying, well, yeah, but they seem to be moving. Well, are you standing in the same spot you were before? No. Well, that would make a move to me, you know. I mean, you're standing on one side of your house, you go to the other, yeah, they're going to be in a different location. So I was just kind of curious if you noticed anything or anything on there at all.
I'm looking at it in the vertical now, and I'm not really, let's see, wait a minute, there's something right there. Okay, let's see what that is. Looks like that is a larger turn down there. Let's see, that looks like it's up about maybe, well, it'll disappear. But it was up about 6,000 feet in about...
Disappeared, he said.
Could have been a plane. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty big. Wait a minute. Let's see what that was.
Yeah, they're getting a bunch of weird ones down there. And like I say, now it's starting to, appears to be moving a little bit south.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it moved. Let's see. Yeah, there's something big down there. Wait a minute. That's really strange. I get it down at, I'm getting it down around South Bend. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong graph.
Strange.
If I can find the right overlay, I can say exactly where I'm seeing it. I can't find it. Oh, shoot. It's moving. I can see it moving, and it's just moved about... Well, let me get the range stroke. Let's see. That should... it looks like it's around 82 kilometers from me. That puts it down about right down near South Haven.
Okay, this would be north of this.
And,
right at the Allegan Ottawa County line.
Okay, now I lost it. But yeah, oh, there it goes. Okay, it's moving. It's moving towards the west southwest. And it looks like a big blob.
Yeah, that's the way it was explained to us.
And it's not. I think it's almost off the scope. Let me go to another.
This is weird.
This is crazy, right?
It looks like it's fizzled out. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, it was up about 6,000 feet or so.
Huh.
And unless that was a... Okay. And I can't, it disappears. It's moving because
one pass is here, the next pass is gone.
Yeah. Well, I got it on manual now. I'm just kind of I'm continuously radiating on it. And looks like it's steady right now.
In a minute, he starts kind of freaking out because he's like, oh my gosh, what is this?
It's gone up. I'm getting it now at about 12,000 feet.
Oh, that's just weird.
And it's a pretty strong return.
People that call that I had
happened to talk to said it looked like a bunch of cylindrical objects.
Well, my God, what is that?
They were going together and coming apart.
There's three, and they're lengthwise. Now I'm getting three of them, and I'm getting a third one now, and they're separated by about, looks like about 5,000 feet in height, and about maybe, 50 kilometers.
Crazy, man.
It looks like a triangle on my scope. I'm looking one around down by,
so they're in formation.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I'm seeing one down near, South Haven. I'm seeing another one over Lake Michigan about northwest of Benton Harbor, and another one over, west of, or east of Benton Harbor, which would be, near, looks like Decatur. Three of those. They're very strong. Now I'm getting another one down in Berrien County. These are huge returns. I've never seen anything like this. Not even when I'm doing storms. These aren't storms. They're just popping up all over the place.
This is strange, yeah, because the officer says it's green and red lights. It does not look like an airplane.
Okay.
They come together and then they separate and they just keep doing this all the time.
And he's seeing that. Yeah, I'm seeing three returns. They've moved positions now. South Haven, looks like, shed more light.
Where were our fancy cameras back then?
I know, right? Holy shit.
South Haven. Okay, that one over by South Haven just roomed over to the northwest by about.
Bless you.
Now they changed position again. One about 20 miles west of South Haven. Another one just above, looks like the Coloma, and the other one is just off the coast of Benton Harbor.
Wow, this is weird.
Okay, now that one near South Haven has moved. It's moving further out into Lake Michigan. I'm getting them up. Okay, I'm getting, it popped. Now I'm getting four. No? Yeah, I got four for a while. Now I'm getting another one way down. I did for a little while. These are all up around about between 7,000 and 12,000 feet.
Oh, this is strange. This is really
so
weird.
Yeah, I don't know if it's some kind of energy or is picking up something.
Dispatch, Union 22.
I wish we had a picture of this, but
if I know exactly
so do we.
Where he sees them once.
Yeah.
Union 22, can you guys objects say south of you yet or little red?
This would have been an awesome call to be able to take. I would have loved to have done this shit, man. It would have been great.
Sixteenth
and Country Club in Holland, Michigan. I know exactly where that's at.
Southwest of Holland City, so that could be that one by Benton Harbor if it's up that high. This is really weird.
Yeah, I was getting four. Okay, now they've moved position again. And I'm sweeping it back and forth in kind of like a triangle, just back and forth from where the beam is spotted towards Chicago, then I sweep it back toward...
In an attack formation, yo.
They'll be in the same position, and then all of a sudden they'll pop up somewhere else. So it's instantaneously moving, and I'm getting about between three and four returns. And they look like, sweeping in the vertical, they look like very strong spikes. I'm getting, it's really weird. So I don't know if I'm, these are bigger than planes. Usually a plane will pick up as a little pinpoint, but these are about, on my radar scope, these are about the size of maybe, looks like a half centimeter across.
Okay. Righty, I'm on a triangle.
So that's a huge
one. All right.
See if they've got anything that they're aware of once, too.
Okay, they look like they're moving, they're all moving toward the south, towards Chicago. There's three returns moving towards Chicago. They're about over center of Lake Michigan, three of them in a triangle, and they're about the southern, real southern part of Lake Michigan, probably just off the coast of Berrien County.
Okay.
Just northeast of Chicago.
All right, I will give them a shot and see what I can locate from them.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So... there's a little more to it, but it's pretty much the same stuff. What do you think, man? I mean, what do you think it was?
What am I supposed to think it was?
We saw that shit. We saw the green and red lights just like they described.
Well, obviously it's a UFO of some sort. I mean, I don't know what
some
the hell
sort
it
of
could
something.
Be. There's no like Air Force bases or anything around there. I mean, we lived anyway in a small little town, and everything around there was
right.
Not. I mean, there was nothing like that around there, so it couldn't have been anything like that.
So for the Google alert that I ended up getting, I have to say where this came from. So shout out to openminds.tv, and it's listen-911 operator tapes describe 1994 Michigan UFO flap, and then /37120. So you can go ahead and go there and you can check out the entire tape. And it says, listen, 911 operator tapes describe 1994 Michigan UFO flap. The Michigan UFO flap of 94 occurred in southeastern Ottawa County near Holland and involved as many as 300 witnesses. They've got a bunch more information on there. And then the picture that they have on here is a UFO with the green and red lights. And it's just, I don't know, man, it's freaking crazy. One of the quotes that they have on here is the key points from the conversation are predominantly three large objects moving in unison from Holland, Michigan, southwesterly toward Chicago. Object signatures much larger than typical aircraft, not typical precipitation signature, and at high altitudes, 5,000 to 12,000 feet, in a triangular formation of 50 kilometers on a side, disappearing from some sweeps and reappearing on subsequent sweeps, gradually moving to southwest of Chicago. So it's freaking crazy. I mean, there's even a comment on here from somebody that says, I remember seeing it. It was wild. And the green and red lights, man.
Yeah.
So it's freaking nuts. Yeah, we lived through it, and it was something else. I mean, the fact that I ended up becoming a 911 operator years later, not that that had any connection or anything like that, but it's just cool that, I mean, that dispatcher ended up using all of his resources, and he ended up getting a hold of the National Weather Service in Muskegon for them to check out that radar.
Yeah.
So that's one thing on there for all of you who are listening. Always use your resources, and you'll end up getting a lot more shit out of it, like this guy did. And we got to hear all the stuff that he was seeing on that radar. So it was freaking nuts. So we saw it. Either we saw it 2 years prior to it, or we saw it in 94. I don't know, but we ended up seeing that exact same thing. And when I read it and I started listening to it, I stopped and immediately called
Mom and Crystal.
Yeah.
And I talked to them, and luckily they were awake. It was about 10:30 at night or something when I finally read all this. And Crystal picks up and she's like, "What do you want?" I was like, "I just wanted, I was hoping that you were going
to
be awake."
I need to tell you this.
I
know.
I was like,
now.
"I got
to
tell you this." I said, "You will not believe this crap." And I said, "Do you remember this?" And of course she didn't, because she was like 6 years old or something.
I was like 6 years old, unless it was.
Yeah.
So
then
unless
like
it was 94, then whatever, you know, but.
Yeah. So yeah. They were small either way. And she didn't really remember it, but. Mom was there at the time, and I said, "Put Mom on speakerphone really quick." And she goes, "Okay." So she puts her on speakerphone, and I said, "Do you remember when we were watching? You know what? It had to have been 94. It had to have been two separate incidents or something, because 94, I believe, is when Blood in Blood Out came out. And I remember we were watching that movie."
Is that what we were watching?
We were watching Bound by Honor, Blood Bound in, Blood Out. And I'm pretty sure that was that time. And I happened to look outside, and that's when I saw those lights and stuff. So I get on, Mom gets on the phone, or they put me on speakerphone rather, and I'm telling Mom, or I'm asking her, I said, "Do you remember when this happened?" She goes, "Oh my gosh, yeah, I do remember. I remember those lights, and it was freaky, and we knew that there were, and, or your aunt was saying that there was no house, or there was a house back there with lights, and we figured that there wasn't, because you guys were saying there wasn't, and all this other stuff." And she goes, why do you ask?" And I said, "Well," and then I told her about all of this, and I sent the link to Crystal, and Crystal read it to Mom, and Mom was freaked out, dude. She's like, "Oh my God." She goes, "I cannot believe it. We finally got an answer.
We're the only ones that saw it." Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nobody else knew about it. And, but Russ, our cousin Russ, he was the one who, that's our aunt, Cruz's, son. He was the one who ended up walking outside and looked back there. And I remember him saying that there was no houses out there, even though his mom was saying that there was. But when we post, or when I posted on Facebook, he goes, "I honestly can say that I can't remember this." Mm-hmm. But
Men in Black was like,
"Yeah, exactly.
You don't remember anything."
Exactly. They shot him right in the face. He's like, "You know nothing." However, Tia Cruz, Aunt Cruz, when I posted that, all she posted as a response, a comment on the UFO thing, was an OMG.
Yeah.
I was like, "Hell yeah, you remember
so
that.
She remembers."
Yeah, you remember seeing those lights. Yeah, it turned out to be something else. But
yeah, funny. Blood and Blood Out came out in 93.
It was 93?
Blood and Blood Out came out in 93.
Oh, so yeah, so we probably watched it. It was in 94. Holy crap, man.
It all comes together. So we were there.
We were there. We lived through that. That's crazy. Freaking nuts. But to listen to that tape.
Crazy, because that's something that I remember to this day. Like, I can look back in my brain as best as I can anyway. And I can see that. I'll never forget that day, ever.
Seeing those lights.
Nope, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I can think about it right
that's
now.
That's the same story that I tell anybody. If anybody ever tells me, it's like, "Do you believe in like UFOs and stuff like that? Or have you ever seen anything like that?" That is the day that I reference. Aside from other ones that I have seen, you know, throughout time. But that one specifically, because I know for a fact at that point in time when I saw it. Yeah, I was a kid. But like I said, we used to play back there all the time. We used to run out there in that entire area, like, freaking front to back for miles, you know. There's nothing back there. There's no way that there was anything sitting there.
Dude, we're lucky that there was never any freaking creepy ass creepers out there or something when we were out there, because it was just us.
We just
like somebody could have freaking kidnapped us. Nobody would have ever known.
I don't know, man.
But we definitely lived through that. And I do the same thing. If anybody ever says that, I'm like, "Well, I did have this one time when I saw these lights, and now." There's proof.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the 911 tape of the people calling in and telling the dispatcher, "Oh, I see this going on, Country Club and 16th. And I know, like I said before, I know exactly where that's at. And these people were seeing these lights." And then he calls to the dude and, you know, they check the radar and he's freaking out about it. It's crazy.
It's insane, man.
They have no idea what it exactly was. But, I mean,
in a way, we don't either, but
ET,
we know that it wasn't a freaking tower or
right?
A house, because we lived there forever and there were no towers over there.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
None at all. There was nothing out there. So the crazy thing, though, was that when they were talking about how they were seeing these lights at the Ottawa and Allegan County line, they were saying that the closest one pretty much was Benton Harbor.
Yeah.
So if it was that blip was all the way, whatever it was all the way down to Benton Harbor, from Benton Harbor to the Allegan and Ottawa County line, those lights had to have been bright as hell.
Yeah.
And we saw those.
Yeah.
So, and if it was coming from way down there.
We saw them as bright as they were. I mean, I don't know how you remember it, but I remember them being really bright.
Yeah, like they were just there. Down.
Yeah, it looked like they were right, sitting right there.
Right. Like
there's
half
no
a mile
way.
Or a mile
that
away
far
from
away,
us,
those
but
things
they were bright.
Were super bright.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane. There's no way. Like it's crazy thinking about it. If they were, that's where they located them at, and that's where they were saying they were at,
mm-hmm.
those things had to be like the sun or something, you know, like super.
Well, because from
bright.
Allegan, let's say the Allegan Ottawa County line to Benton Harbor is what? Almost 2 hours?
It's a long ways, man.
It's a pretty, long drive to get there. Maybe an hour and a half. I don't know, but it's long. It's
especially
it's,
from our area where we're at.
Yeah, it was a long, it took forever
to get
there. It was
clear in the sky. It wasn't like they were little twinkling stars or nothing. Like they were big, bright lights.
Yeah, they were really bright. So if people could see them up there further than where we were at, then I have no idea what it was. But you listening, you heard the tape. You can check it out. I'm going to put the link on the post as well. And on that note, this is going to be the wrap up of episode 107 of Within the Trenches. I hope you're. I hope it got you thinking.
I hope that if you're abducted, you talk to us or tell somebody that you were, because we'll freaking believe you even if nobody has all these years, because we saw it too.
And if you are listening to this and or you know who was working at Ottawa County at that time in dispatch, hook me up, because that would be an excellent story to tell. We listened to the tape, but to be able to talk to somebody who actually was working that day, that would be freaking awesome. So if, like I said, if you're listening and you know, hook me up, because that would be awesome. Also, for those who are listening, if you have any questions, comments, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email the show, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @901podcast. You can also like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And again, the Sons and Daughters of Dispatch decals are up and available. They will be, we're going to take orders daily. We're going to mail them out, though, every single Friday. And then Code 7 Dispatch Apparel is coming. And we're going to have t-shirts coming soon as well. And of course, I'll be going through my homeboy Seth at ThreadZT. He does excellent stuff. He just hooked me up with a couple ThreadZT official t-shirts, as well as the Sons and Daughters of Dispatch t-shirts that he did. And they turned out really great. So props to him. Also, if you're going to be at National NENA, the National NENA Conference, even Michigan NENA, I'm going to be there and I'm going to bring my equipment. If you guys want to do an episode, let's do this. And for all of those who were at the Indiana NENA Conference, if you have any more tapes, send them to me, wttpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to be a guest on the show, shoot me an email and we'll get together and do an episode. Rob and I will be at Michigan NENA, and we are going to be doing a talk about texting. We're going to be reading some real text to 911 conversations, and it's going to be a good time. You're going to learn a lot, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And like I said, I'm going to try to record some episodes there. So if you want to be on the show, hit me up there. I'll have my decals and such. And then National NENA Conference, make sure to check us out at our booth. We're going to have a huge 20x20. We're going to have three different stations. We're going to be showing off text for 911, as well as transfer and conferencing on Texty. And we are going to have a two-seater Indy 500 arcade game so that you can compete for the prize that we have there. Usually we have something that we give away. Well, this time you're going to have to compete for it, and it's going to be awesome. So make sure to check us out there and stop by the podcast zone. Within the Trenches will be there, along with Mark Fletcher with his APN network, the 911 Tech Podcast, I believe is what it's called. If not, my bad, dude. But make sure to check us out there and go and be on one of the episodes for either one of us.
but it's going to be a good time. So also, this episode can be heard, and it's going to be available 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, as well as thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.